In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please do take a seat. Thank you very much for your welcome. I'm Paul Ayres, Archdeacon of Leeds. I know some of you. It's quite a few years since I've been here, but I'm always delighted to be invited. Please do relax during the service. You will discover that, as in every church where I go, I will do something wrong. Because every church does their service completely differently. So if I forget what I've been told, just humour me and bear with me. The banns need to be called. Thank you. I publish the banns of marriage between David Simon Reynolds, Deacon of the parish of St. James Manston, and Gemma Louise Burton, also of St. James Manston. This is for the first time of asking. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, ye are to declare it. Thank you. Today we celebrate God's generosity to us in creation and salvation, and we respond with gratitude. Jesus said, "Before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled. As brothers and sisters in God's family, we come together to ask our Father for forgiveness." A moment of reflection. And we say, "Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen." May Almighty God have mercy on you, forgive you your sins, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify and govern both our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that is what seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure is in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house has known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Lord, grant that I may speak the truth in love, that we may, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, even Christ our Lord. Amen. Please take a seat. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The take-home message is that there is a God who is pleased to be your Father and to give you life. So you can nod off for the rest of it now, that's the main thing. The context of this reading is after Jesus' ministry in Galilee, it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem for the final confrontation with his opponents. And he sent out 70 of his followers ahead of him to spread the good news in the towns and villages. He had various encounters on the way. And now in chapter 12 of Luke, and verse 1, there is a crowd of thousands. And he's saying to the crowd, "Look, do you really want to follow me? Because it's not going to be easy. But it is going to be worth it. So are you up for it?" And in the face of the challenge of following Jesus, he reassures them, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Here are three things about giving. Firstly, God loves giving. Acts of the Apostles, Paul says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." One of the very few words of Jesus quoted outside of the Gospels in the New Testament. Well, we enjoy giving good things to those we love, don't we? Unless you're a very miserable, stingy so-and-so. We love giving. Well, Jesus says that God takes pleasure in giving to us. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 7, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts," or "give the Holy Spirit" in Luke's version, "to those who ask him." The letter of James says that God gives generously to all and ungrudgingly. Think of the shape of the Christian story in the Bible. Creation, catastrophe, covenant, collapse, Christ, the cross, kingdom and consummation. Which bit of that is not a gift? There's the gift of creation. Our very existence is a gift. Scripture implies that God the Father created the universe as a gift for his Son. Colossians 1, all things have been created through him, through Christ, and for him. Scientists will tell you that the most interesting thing in the universe is the earth. And the most interesting thing on earth is life. And the most interesting life is human life. And certainly life didn't create itself. We didn't create ourselves. Our life is a gift. But there's more than that. Despite our sin, there's the gift not just of creation, but of salvation. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom means living with God as our King, here and now, and for all eternity in the resurrection. What Hebrews, in the letter to the Hebrews that we heard, calls the heavenly city that we're looking forward to. God wants us to enjoy this as a free gift. That's what the word grace means, a free gift. Paul says in Ephesians 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." No one can say, "I have achieved salvation." It's a pure gift. And he challenged the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" Now, do we know and feel that that is what God is like? A priest I know who used to belong to a very narrow and exclusive Christian group told me that he changed his view when he saw his local parish church and their local vicar trying to do evangelism, trying to reach out and invite their community to Christian faith. And he said, "I realise that God isn't trying to keep people out, he's trying to get people in." The distinctive Christian revelation in Scripture is that God is exactly like Jesus, because Jesus is the fullness of God living as a human being. And what we see in Jesus in the Gospels is one who loves to draw people in to abundant and eternal life. Paul says the same in Ephesians 1. He says, "God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will." This is what God loves. This is what God wants. This is the good pleasure that he takes. 1 Timothy 2, "God desires everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." So you can be confident of this. The gift of creation, God has made you. As the writer Dallas Willard says, we will never enjoy the easy love of God unless we realise that it is good for me to be and for me to be who I am. The gift of creation and the gift of salvation, God has rescued you. I don't want anybody to leave this church this morning without knowing that there is a God, that God is love, that he loves you and he enjoys giving you his kingdom. In other words, inviting you to live in his joy now and forever. That's the first sort of giving. God loves to give. Second, Jesus talks about a second sort of giving. Because God loves giving, we can become givers. So he goes on in the next verse, "Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When we see and feel how generous God is to us, that sets us free to be generous to each other. Last week's gospel was the parable of the rich fool, if you remember, true brothers fighting over the family inheritance. And Jesus said, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he warned them, "So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves but are not rich towards God." He told them not to worry about food and clothes but to strive for the kingdom. I don't believe that any of this means despise material things so that you can go to a spiritual heaven, as some religions teach. Often in the Gospels, heaven is shorthand for the one who lives in heaven, God. So treasures in heaven means having God as our main treasure, valuing God above all. Being rich towards God means being rich in love and joy and peace, in grace and generosity and trust. I went for my annual retreat a couple of weeks ago. We go to Keswick each year, and I listened to diverse speakers on the theme of gratitude. That was the theme. And one of them was a fellow called Germa Bishaw, originally from Ethiopia, who leads a charity, a project in London called the Gratitude Initiative. And he says this: a society in which resentments towards the other are frequently expressed without respect and mutual appreciation is a society in danger of fragmentation. But a society in which gratitude to the other is readily expressed is one that will be more stable and coherent. In the wake of recent political and social developments, this message, while timeless, is of particular value and urgency. I need that reminder every day to choose gratitude for God's generosity and to be generous to other people. To look for the good, to receive the good as a gift from God so that I can be good to others. Yes, to be generous even when there is, perhaps especially because there is, a cost of living crisis. So God enjoys giving, that's the first thing, and we can become givers, that's the second thing. But there is a third kind of giving that brings it full circle. The best thing that we have to give to our neighbours is the good news that God is this generous giver. The greatest treasure we have to share is the invitation that's been given to us. Do not be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The gift that the church gives is to preach Jesus, to invite everyone to receive this free gift of living in God's kingdom. It's a good job that the church's main gift to the world is spiritual rather than material, because, don't tell anybody this, but the Church of England is not the wealthy organisation that some people think it is. I know there are people who say, oh, the church has got loads of money. Just for comparison, I looked up, because you can Google anything, can't you? I looked up, in this Archdeaconry of Leeds, our share of the budget, roughly, that we have to pay for to run the church, is about £6 million. And then if you add together all the PCCs need to pay for buildings and insurance and all that, call it £7 million, let's say. Leeds NHS Trust has a budget of £1.5 billion. That's only 200 times as much as the Church of England. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? The main thing we want to give is the gift of life in Christ, which is free and doesn't cost a penny. But people don't always trust a free gift, do they? When I was a student, some people from the church I went to, for a bit of a gimmick, they went out into the shopping centre with wads of pound notes. That shows you how long ago it was. Okay. And they tried to give them to passers-by. So it was like a pound note. And of course, nobody would take them. Why not? Because they thought there's a catch. Nobody gives away something for nothing. Now, it shows how warped our thinking has become if we think that anything about Jesus is a catch, that offering the gospel to people is some kind of catch, that we're doing it for our own benefit. I mean, that's crazy. Telling people about Jesus, inviting them into the kingdom of God, inviting them into the faith of the church, is not an imposition on them. It's not trying to get something out of them. It's just the reverse. We're inviting them to receive the free gift that this generous God wants them to receive. Because, make no mistake, there are plenty of warnings in Scripture as well about what happens if we spurn God's generosity and turn away to the behaviours that destroy our own lives and the lives of others. So there is a cost to not receiving the gift. God loves giving. We can become givers, and we give good news of real treasure. Did I ever tell you about when I was in prison? I was only visiting. I was taking a service in the chapel, and I met a guy, one of the prisoners, who said to me, I used to have a big house, a Mercedes on the drive, a £10,000 watch on my wrist, but I was never happy, and I was into all sorts of crime. And he says, the 6.5 years that I've done in here, in Armley Jail, were the best thing that could have happened to me. They were thoroughly deserved, and it's changed my life. I'm happy for the first time, and I want to share it. Now, what had happened to him? He will tell you that he has asked Jesus into his life. That's how he puts it. He's still in jail. Well, he might not be now, it's a couple of years ago. But he's richer than he's ever been. He's rich towards God. His treasure is in heaven. In other words, what he values more than anything is having the kingdom of God, belonging, being a child of God. Now, why and how has he asked Jesus into his life? Because somebody told him. It's like somebody told you and me. Somebody invited him. Don't be afraid. Join this little flock. There's a heavenly Father who would like nothing more than to give you the kingdom. If we know that God is so generous to us, are we generous enough to share God's generosity with everybody else? Let's take a moment to reflect. Lord, in what I have said, if anything is not from you, let it quickly be forgotten. Anything that is from you, let us hear it and take it to heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand to declare our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, saying together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father God, we give you thanks that we are called, like Abraham, into your service. May we be faithful and obedient to that calling. Please sit or kneel to pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, especially today from the Anglican Communion, the Church in the province of the West Indies. In this Diocese of Leeds, we pray for Nicholas and Aaron, our bishops, Paul, our Archdeacon, and our sisters and brothers in Christ from Bradford Cathedral. We pray for its mission to the city led by Dean Andrew, and for all people who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to their community. We thank you for our ministry team and our church welcomers here in this parish of St. Mary. We pray that as they follow you in faith, your Spirit will lead and guide them. We pray that all will find a welcome here and be nurtured in their journey with Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you entrusted the earth into our care. Show us how to repair the hurt and heal the damage as we depend on this earth for our daily need. Our world is in desperate need of change, and we can feel overwhelmed by what is happening. Help us to remember that you are in the centre of our prayer, and to pray against the greed, destruction and harm that we see around us. We continue to hold the situation in the Ukraine before you, and we pray for peace and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this time of holiday, for days out and days doing nothing but resting. We pray for all those who need to be reminded that it is okay to rest. And we give thanks that we are encouraged to stop at this time, to recharge, and to be ready for the new season at school and at church. We pray for all the members of our church family who are away at this time. Keep them safe as they travel. Give them joy in time spent with family and friends. And we pray that they will return rested, refreshed, and renewed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Generous God, we thank you for the help that we are able to provide for those in need in our city, especially for all those who contribute to and volunteer for St. Richard's Food Bank in Seacroft, and all those who are called to support those in need at St. George's Crypt. We pray for your blessing on all those who give and receive from charitable organisations. And remember that the Apostle Paul taught us it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for our families, friends, and all our communities. Today, especially, our prayers are asked for the residents of Whitkirk Close. May your love bless all those who live, work, or visit there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we thank you for all those who care for us every day, especially those we take for granted. We pray for all those who are worn out and weary for whatever reason, those who are in the depths of sickness, pain or grief. And in a moment of quiet, we bring before God anyone on our hearts and minds this morning. And we pray for those from this community who have asked for our prayers. Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jeff Blowers, Beryl Laverick, Shane Simpson, Jeff Lidster, David Woodcock, Lynn Perry, and Roger Guy, together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Margaret Burton, George Brown, and Jennifer Mode. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, receive the souls of the faithfully departed, Tom Crossfield. Grant to him pardon for all his sins committed. Welcome him into your heavenly family. And we remember those who are with the saints in glory, Nancy Bond and Beatrice Roberts, whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, thank you for your promise that you hear our prayers. Strengthen our faith in that promise, so that our lives may proclaim your love, mercy, and goodness to all that we meet. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We meet in the name of Christ and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We offer one another a sign of peace. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to set before you, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to set before you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become for us the cup of salvation.
Blessed be God forever.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. From sunrise to sunset this day is holy, for Christ has risen from the tomb and scattered the darkness of death with light that will not fade. This day the risen Lord walks with your gathered people, unfolds for us your word, and makes himself known in the breaking of bread. And though the night will overtake this day, you summon us to live in endless light, the never-ceasing Sabbath of the Lord. And so with choirs of angels and with all the heavenly host, we proclaim your glory and join their unending song of praise. Praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that have taken holy things. May the ears which have heard your word be deaf to clamour and dispute. May the tongues which have sung your praise be free from deceit. May the eyes which have seen the tokens of your love shine with the light of hope. And may the bodies which have been fed with your body be refreshed with the fullness of your life. Glory to you for ever. Amen. Amen. You have opened to us the scriptures, O Christ, and you have made yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Abide with us, we pray, that blessed by your royal presence, we may walk with you all the days of our life, and at its end behold you in the glory of the eternal Trinity, one God for ever and ever. Amen. God, who in Christ gives us a spring of water welling up to eternal life, perfect in you the image of his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.